evening, distinguished graduates, revered clergy, high school instructors, fellow students, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, and to the rodents peeping out from under the stage. We welcome you heartily to this most auspicious occasion in which we shall celebrate the academic successes of these three fine young people whom you see sitting here before you. This evening you shall be entertained and fascinated by three phenomenal speakers. Plenty no boredom. Within this evening's program, we shall have a slide presentation. Slide presentation, yes. And the diplomas... Would the adults please behave themselves? A bit of entertainment by the local bluegrass band Locked and Company. Yes. Well, without further ado, let us get on with the evening's festivities and celebrations of academic excellence. Yes. First, we will hear from... Well, let me pause here and say one word. Not only have these three students taught us much, we have taught them a few things. They came here rather status quo, common young people. Now they are thoroughly bizarre. It is our hope, yes, that they will go out and radicalize the world and show what it's all about, as you'll see by our barefoot prophet there. Now, without further ado, let us hear from our first speaker, the irreverent Reverend Jim Fish.
Members of the graduating class, Ms. Perbrick, other teachers in the audience, parents, friends, relatives, Mary Schramm, Dan Erlander, Craig Swenson, and all you mice up there in the balcony listening in. First, a word to all of the guests who are visiting in the village. Sure, I know what you're thinking. When will this be over so we can go to the pool hall and get some popcorn? I know that you came to Holden expecting a really big time, and so far the highlights have been 35 degrees, rain, and Larry Rasmussen's announcements. If we wanted to go to a high school graduation, we could have stayed in Spokane, you're saying. Hold on, it'll be over shortly. It's really nice that all of the Joson family could be here tonight for Glenn's graduation. Mother Joson, Father, Julie, Sonia, Peter, Gary, and Marty. Why did they all come? I asked Glenn's mother, and she said to me, it's the first decent thing he's ever done. Let us all remember the other families of the graduates who cannot be here this evening. We remember the Wee family back in New Jersey, Renee and Paul, Chris and Steve. You'd be proud of Debbie tonight, the rest of the family. She's wearing purple jogging shorts and a sweatshirt that says Ovambo Kavango right across it. I know you were asking, can we afford to send Debbie to Holden High School? Will it be worth it? Will it be good preparation for her work at St. Olaf? You'll be happy to know that Debbie has received word that she is accepted at St. Olaf and that she's all signed up for her first courses. Remedial, math, bonehead, English, and basics in running, all three. Holden was well worth it. And Arnie's father back in Northfield may well hear a tape of this evening also. Please know, Mr. Bjork, that Arnie's mellowed a great deal. In addition to losing a lot of weight, he's knitting now. Plays Joan Baez songs in his guitar with his eyes closed, and agrees that going to St. Olaf is just the thing he wants to do, providing that you'll pay all the costs plus $5,000 a year. We've all been so proud of you three this past year and the way that you've tackled those special courses that Ms. Perbrick has arranged for you. We were thrilled the way that Glenn, together with his teacher, David Christian, struggled with the great issues of the day in David's three-credit course, Watching Sprouts Grow. We were impressed with the way that Arnie, together with his teachers, Bev Wagner and Karen Erlander, wrestled with the basics of the alphabet in their course, Sorting Mail. We were in great respect of Debbie, together with her teacher, Ms. Perbrick, as they mixed and blended the ingredients of truth under the hot fires of intellect in Sally's course, Cookie Baking. Remember that? Few instructors were quite as meticulous, however, as Craig Swenson. Mr. Swenson, former pilot in the United States Air Force and part-time Lefse Baker, taught the basics of flight in his ground school, 3 credits. It was an exciting day, we all recall, when the whole class, together with Mr. Swenson, went to Wenatchee and rented an airplane and took off into the sky for Chelan. Was there ever any sign of worry and concern over this maiden flight? No, not with Mr. Swenson in the pilot seat. Arnie Bjork, who was in the co-pilot seat because he had brushed his teeth in February. radioed the tower, requesting permission to land. Granted, the tower said, land on runway 80 was the response. Then Craig turned to Arnie and said, request permission to buzz the runway so we can get a look at it. So Arnie calls and the request is granted. The plane buzzes the runway and the ever alert Glenn Joson from the back seat, sitting cross-legged eating a sprout sandwich, notes, as he looks out the window, that the runway is only 20 feet long. Don't fear, Mr. Swenson says with his steely Norse look. I'll set it down, hit the brakes hard, and we'll make it. Slowly, the plane came in. The whole class is tense now and nervous. Flaps are up and the gear is down, and the plane touches the end of the runway, and Swenson hits the brakes. Screeching and sliding, they approach the far end of the 20-foot runway. The plane goes off the concrete and the nose dives into the grass, but they're safe and sound. Boy, that sure was a short runway, comments Mr. Swenson. Sure was, says Debbie Wee, looking out the side window, but it must be at least a mile wide. Now, since you three are graduating valedictorian, salutatorian, and runner-upatorian, depending on however you figure it out, you would normally be giving speeches yourself, but instead of giving speeches to us, you're providing cookies instead, and we appreciate that very much. That's very nice. Many of the people here in this audience tonight graduated at the top of their class, like you three have. And I did some history of some of the people in our village and their high school graduations, and I think there are a lot of things that you probably didn't know. Could I tell you? Yeah, I will tell you a few of them. Peter Cohan, for example, down in the front row here, when he graduated from the Melmac School for Pottery, gave a speech entitled Getting Glazed in the Kiln of Life. It was a great speech. John Schramm, when graduating, this is just a joke now, John. John Schramm, when graduating from the Slim Pickens Memorial High School, gave a speech entitled, There's Glory and Riches for You in the Fast Food Industry. Dan Erlander, Pastor Erlander, when graduating from the Pope Pius XII School for Liturgical Fussiness, gave a speech entitled, Why I Get So Excited. Werner Jansen, when graduating from the Technical Academy for the Short, gave a speech entitled, Our Heads Are Not Cue Balls. Dorothy Bennett, when graduating from the School of Hard Rocks, gave a speech entitled, Cabochons and Cowboys Make Me Cry. Jean Gresseth, when graduating from Clarkfield High School, gave a speech entitled, Knowledge is Good. Wes Preeb, Mr. Preeb, would you stand so everybody can... Wes Preeb, when graduating from the W.C. Field School for Old Jokers, gave a speech entitled, The Highways and Byways of Life. Ah, yes. Don Wagner, when graduating from the Dale Carnegie School of Charm for Mechanics, he gave a speech entitled, Be Nice to Your Socket Set. Charles Numrick, when graduating from the Gertrude Stein School of Obscure Drama, gave a speech entitled, Always Leave Them Wondering. You know Charles a little bit there. Judy Jansen, when graduating from LBI in Seattle, gave a speech entitled, 1,200 Hours of Vespers Would Never Be Enough. And finally, David Christian, when graduating from the Hong Kong School of Oriental Cooking, gave a speech entitled, Microwave Ovens, the Future of Cuisine. But anyway, those were just some. There are a lot more that I don't have time for right now, but others were good. Debbie, Glenn, and Arnie, we have enjoyed you this winter. You are lively people, and you are enlightened adults, and you make me feel good. I feel good because I know you, and I feel secure because I know that you are a part of the future of our country, and you are a part of the future of the church, and because of that, I rest more easily. You are mature well beyond your years, and I wish you God's speed and God's blessing and the benediction of his grace upon you as you continue your work and your life. God bless you.
Next, we shall hear from a remarkable speaker, a person of great enthusiasm, as we have already heard this evening. Yes, Daniel Erlander, the eminent nerd theologian, will now deliver an enlightening, edifying speech. Thank you.
I only plan to say one thing this evening, and that is to give the three of you the truth. The reason you will know this is the truth, I have never told a lie. If ever in my life I've told a lie, may my tongue... As I was thinking about what to say tonight to the graduates and to all of you, this question came to my mind, this question. What if I were to take the first letters of Debbie, Arnie, and Glenn's first name, D-A-G, arrange them in six possible combinations, A-G-D-A-D-G, D-A-G, D-G-A, G-D-A, and G-A-D. Then from the combination make three rows. By the way, this will end all on a chart. The first row, each A would be 50 points, the D 75 points, and the G 1/2. The second row, the A would be 100 points, the D 4.5 points, the G 10,500. The third row, the A would be 1,000, the D would be 30,000, the G 56. Then what if I were to add up all of the rows, divide the actual number total of each column into three numbers, and that would give me nine numbers. Then I would give each of the nine numbers a letter number value based on the code A equals 1, B equals 2, C equals 3, D equals 4. Then I would transfer the nine final numbers into letters. What would I come up with? Here's the chart. And here's the final numbers, 251, 21, 29, 6, 21, 12. Their letter values would come out to be beautiful. And I was just thrilled when it came out this way. Because each of you is beautiful in your own way. You're beautiful people. And I have one confession to make this evening. Last week, I stood up in the hall without your knowing and listened to your class. And I had a lump in my throat because it was an experiment of what each of these three would say to a draft board. And I stood there, and this is a confession, I was listening. And the three have chosen the pathway of peace. And I don't know if there's anything more beautiful than to say that about them. And I'm glad it was in the hall. Thank you.
And yes, as our last speaker this evening, we have the honor of being addressed by none other than the woman selected as one of the 10 best dressed radical Christian ladies in Sojourner's annual poll. Yes, our own Mary Schramm.
I really feel a little out of place giving this because I was asked to give the one serious speech in the graduation ceremony, so I will proceed to do that. Holden graduates of the year of our Lord, 1980, friends of the graduates, guests of the village, and a very special welcome to the parents, to Inga and Martin Josen, but also to Kenneth Bjork, who could not be with us, and Renee and Paul in New Jersey. I know they would love to have been here to have shared this day with you. The fact that your parents entrusted to us at the village the nurture and care of the three of you is indeed amazing. I was surprised and pleased, mostly pleased. And the fact that we have been able to put up with you is also amazing. I have been surprised and pleased, mostly pleased. I also wish that I could put out of my mind the fact that you asked me to talk at your graduation as kind of an act of revenge. As your speech teacher, I feel an inordinate pressure on me to make sure that my outline is correct, that my gestures are appropriate, and that my eye contact is exactly right. As your speech teacher, I never thought that you would say, her day will come. I also understand, Debbie, why you always wanted to be the first one to give your speech. It's very difficult to be third or last on a program, I can assure you. But putting aside these fears, I do want to say that the fact that you asked me to speak at your graduation was both surprising and pleasing, mostly pleasing for me. When I asked about a topic, Arnie and Debbie said, we would like you to talk about our theme, Enough is Enough. Glenn said, I would like you to talk about 5 minutes. I am going to combine both of these requests for a few minutes and talk seriously with you. In a sense, I have watched each of you living out the theme of enough is enough. In watching your lives, I have been more keenly aware that there are young people around who are very serious about things, who are very sensitive to the needs of others around them and to their global family, and who are very disciplined people. And I have found this to be very inspiring for me, because I feel if it's an attitude and a lifestyle that you can adopt, it's certainly possible for me also. For Arnie, it was saying, enough is enough food. We have watched Arnie lose 50 pounds in the past couple of months, and I think this is a very hard discipline. He's done it by refusing to eat the good bread that comes out of our kitchen, by not eating between meal snacks, by exercising, by not having desserts on Sunday. And Arnie has also been very open with us about his struggle about a chemical dependency, and he has said, enough. I have admired this, Arnie, and I've watched you grow, thinly grow. I am very amazed, I am surprised and pleased, but mostly pleased. You've been an inspiration. I have watched Debbie live out the theme of enough by her concern not only for those around her, but for her wider global family, in her attitude about a more simplified lifestyle, in her advocacy role of letter writing to encourage those in authority to act justly, and in her consciousness raising within the community, especially by sharing communications from the Director of Lutheran World Ministries. I have also watched you say enough to your reticence to share your gift of drama and public speaking with us. I have watched as you have changed from a young lady who refused to be in a play unless you could speak from the back tape room to one who has become active in matins and vespers and a lead in a play. Debbie still blushes when she's in front of people, but she said, enough of this reticence and shyness. Is the world ready for me? Debbie, I am surprised and pleased, mostly pleased. Glenn, you are the fourth Josen to become a part of the Holden community. I have loved each of you, and it was with great pride and joy that I have listened to your reasons for why you have shed most of your worldly possessions, because you have a feeling that others in this world have to live simply, not because that's a choice, but because that's how life is. You have said, enough of material things, I don't need a lot to live and be happy. And you have also said, enough of war and hostility. I have discussed your stance as a conscientious objector to all wars with you, and I have watched as you have struggled with what it means to live out what you understand to be faithfulness to Jesus Christ. You have lived out the James Douglas quote when he said recently, some people go to war and some people go to peace. Glenn, I admire your singleness of mind and your refusal to compromise your faith. In a real way, all three of these young people have said enough to peer pressure, enough to having to be like everyone around me, enough to letting the world squeeze them into their mold, into its mold. You are very unique, beautiful, gifted, radical young people. And don't be afraid of the word radical, because it means rooted, to get back to the roots again. And you knew before you came, because of the excellent Christian education that you've had from your parents, that our roots are spirit-watered, spirit-fed, and spirit-nurtured. And we hope that the time that you've spent in the community have helped to strengthen these roots. If this has not been the case, then we as a community have failed you. But to continue to be radical means that you're going to have to continue to say, enough is enough. And this is risky business, because it's not a very popular thing nowadays. If you've ever been to an ocean beach, you will notice three kinds of people. There are those people that lie on the beach in the hot sand, alternating between spraying on insect repellent and suntan lotion. And then there are those people who are way out there in the waves having the time of their life. They're jumping into the water, not afraid to be almost drowned in the ocean, body surfing, letting the waves carry them where they will, shouting for joy. And then there's the third kind of person who is intolerably bored, unfulfilled, and not very exciting. They find life rather dull. They're the kind that stand right at the ocean edge, maybe ankle deep in the water, or maybe just their big toe in. They're really afraid to take a risk to get out there in the water, and yet they know that they just don't want to lie on the beach making their body beautiful in the sun. I'd like to encourage you to continue to jump in the water, knowing that God will never lead you where his love will not enfold you, or his arms support you. We are extremely happy to share in your graduation day. Knowing the pitfalls of community life and of the discipline that it takes to stay here and of the fact that some people don't make it to the end of the school year, the fact that you are still here is great. I am surprised and pleased, mostly surprised.
Yes, and now we shall hear from three charming people who have given up their time and energy to these three young people. They have been their teachers and counselors. They have endured and enjoyed the lifestyle of Lodge 6. I would now like to introduce Jean Gresseth, Terry Hool, and Craig Swenson. They shall deliver prophecies concerning these three young people before us.
During the past week, there was a prophecy box in the dining room to give everyone in the village a chance to foretell the futures of Debbie, Arnie, and Glenn. This afternoon, we pieced these prophecies together and would like to share them with you now. Please remember that Jean, Craig, and myself are not responsible for these predictions. It is prophesied that Glenn Josend, unfortunately, will have to be hospitalized for a short time because of a sugar deficiency. He recovers, but during his period of recuperation, either his medication or meditation drastically affect him. Once back on his bare feet again, Glenn heads for Camp Pendleton, California, where he serves for several years as a Marine drill sergeant. He goes on to become a decorated veteran of Petrol War I. Boredom and restlessness begin to set in after the excitement of the war, but Glenn finally discovers a more consistent source of personal fulfillment as a tax consultant for H&R Block in San Francisco.
Arnie Bjork. After high school graduation, Arnie finds a summer job selling balloons on a street corner in Naples, Italy. His balloon experience leads him to a high-flying trapeze act with a traveling circus. The finale of this act, swinging upside down, playing his guitar, and singing about the Beverly Hillbillies. Tiring of this traveling, complex lifestyle, Arnie joins a Trappist monastery. Years pass, and Arnie decides to visit an old high school friend, Dave Lilliengren, in Chicago. Arnie remains in Chicago, and is currently a taxicab driver in this town. During his free moments in the cab, Arnie continues to work on his book. This book, which was started in high school, is entitled, What to Do When There's Nothing to Do.
The future for Debbie Wee will be filled with many and significant changes. First, due to the great success and popularity of the Holden Slideshow, Debbie will be discovered by Luther Preuss Brothers Incorporated, a very big PR organization. Through their agency, she will become the top model of promotional slideshows for remote Christian camps worldwide. After a few years of this glorious life, Debbie tires of the glamour and fame and moves to Spiberg, Minnesota, where she is the women's high school track, soccer, and cross-country ski coach. While skiing that winter in the world-famous Birkenbeiner, she runs into Jan Telemark. They fall madly in love and share a flourishing cross-country ski career. Again, Debbie attains fame with her telemarking skill. Finally, burnt out by the glory, she becomes the owner of Deb's Clip and Curl Beauty Salon.
Yes, that moment has arrived that we've all been waiting for. That precious piece of parchment which shall send these young people off into the world of academia, radical discipleship, and who knows what else. Now the moment arrives, and the woman who shall be presenting these diplomas this evening is none other than Sally Herbrick, that pretty, plodding, predictable premier poet of Holden Village. That's not what my outline says. At this time, we will have a slideshow. This evening's slideshow shall present the graduates' year at Holden Village. Yes, presented seasonally and accompanied by flute improvisation by none other than flautist Jeff Cohen. Now we shall present the diplomas. Yes, the poet.
Both Walt Whitman and I share the following philosophy. Now I see the secret of making the best persons. It is to grow in the open air and to eat and sleep with the earth. The people in the physical environment of Holden have enabled me to utilize this formula in helping the high school folks gain more knowledge and, even more importantly, to gain wisdom. Special thanks go to our counselors, Jean, Terry, and Craig, and to all those who contributed their time and energy to the high school program. The search for knowledge and wisdom is not an easy undertaking for the students or for the teacher. And it can be compared to the stresses, the accomplishments, and the defeats one encounters during an outdoor expedition. Teaching and learning has at times been more strenuous than ascending North Star on skinny skins, scarier than wedging oneself in a rock chimney and not being able to get out, more confusing than trying to locate a trail in the inky darkness, and more frustrating than careening down an icy ski trail with only one pole. On the other hand, working with the high school has been more satisfying and self-arresting during a headfirst descent down a snowy slope. It has provided more joy than hitting upon the perfect ski wax combination. It has been more rewarding than executing a flawless telemark turn. And it has given me more insight into the human psyche than most expedition leaders could ever hope to gain. Before I conduct the presentation that you've all been waiting for, I have some special awards to make to everyone in the high school. And so when I call your name, when each of you come out to receive your award, okay, Tim Wagner, the first one. And Tim, this year, has received the bus award for his outstanding maintenance work on the village vehicles. Tom Wagner. Okay, Tom Wagner gets the lunch prize for his almost perfect attendance at all meals and his true dedication in making it to lunch on time. The playground captain medal belongs to Lois Kuhn for her efforts in keeping the peace during the pillow polo games. Gary Elder. Okay, this year's penmanship citation goes to Gary Elder, whose longhand script is beyond words. David Liljengren. Okay, David has earned the award for control. That's for his ability to keep cool when sporting a false nose and mustache in front of a live audience. Okay, Glenn Josend. Okay, Glenn. Glenn gets the Ecology Prize this year for his efforts in recycling old clothes way past their prime. Debbie Wee. Okay, the medal for athletics goes to Debbie Wee, the only female student to ski to the summits of North Star and Cloudy Peak, returning with her distinctive red badge of courage. Arnie Bjork. Arnie has earned the Achievement Award this year in his battle with the scales, which he has been winning, by the way. Okay, Glenn, Arnie, and Debbie are about to leave the hallowed halls of Holden High behind and begin the next leg of their journey. This spring, we studied the writings of Henry David Thoreau, and although we were not always in complete agreement with him, I think the three seniors will appreciate these words. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Rise free from care before the dawn and seek adventures. Let noon find thee by other lakes, and the night overtake thee everywhere at home. There are no larger fields than these, no worthier games than may be here played. Grow wild according to thy nature, like the sedges and brakes, which will never become English hay. Let the thunder rumble. What if it threaten ruin to farmers' crops? That is not its errand to thee. Take shelter under the cloud, while they flee to carts and sheds. Let not to get a living be thy trade, but thy sport. Enjoy the land, but own it not. Through want of enterprise and faith, men are where they are, buying and selling, and spending their lives like serfs. Okay, now the time has come to award the diplomas. Each senior receives not one, but two diplomas, one from Holden High School and one from Chelan High School. So as I call your name, would you come up and get your diploma and then remain standing? Okay. Arnie L. Bjork.
And without further ado, we shall now hear one number from Locked and Company Bluegrass. After they have played one number and the high school class, the graduating seniors, has exited, we invite you all to join us for a reception in the dining hall.
This is in honor of the graduates. I had a little help from Carl and Dee writing some special lyrics to Will the Circle Be Unbroken.
Standing by my window on a cold and cloudy day, when I saw that bus come rolling, low to take our high school away. So I asked that high school teacher, I said that he what goes on. The last thing that I remember was a high school here, and now it's gone. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? Will you better keep in touch now, or we'll all break down and cry? Sally told me, please don't worry, I'll be back, you can depend. But I got to tell the world now, look out for Debbie, Arnie, and Glenn. Well, there's Debbie, she's an oldie, she'll find there what it takes to learn. Rest assured now, she knows already what it takes to run to Lucerne.
Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? Well, you better keep in touch now, or we'll all break down and cry.
Now there's Debbie, oh Arnie, now it's time to shoot. And he's getting his parole. In the future, we will see him, guitar in hand with that rock and roll. And old Glenn, he's the barefoot brother, and he walks the path of the Lord. With the gifts that he's been given, who can tell what lies in store? Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better keep in touch now, or we'll all break down and cry. Keep in touch now, or we'll all break down and cry.
People can just sort of mingle a little now and don't pay too much attention, okay?